David Trainer, the founder and president of New Constructs, is here. They evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous, and now we are looking at how some of their best picks from 2019 worked out. Welcome to the Danger Zone. Yep, it's the Danger Zone on Money Life. This is where we work with the experts from New Constructs. NewConstructs.com. If you want more information, if you want to find their list of the most attractive and most dangerous stocks, if you want to see any of their Danger Zone picks, because they blog about all of them. And they're on Twitter at New Constructs, but they do evaluate securities using methodology that digs in at the footnotes level and works its way back up. It is forensic accounting meets cash flow analysis, and the results, well, they've been recognized as generating alpha, you know, the ability to make an above average and above market return. Again, you know where to go if you want to see how it works. But last week in the Danger Zone, we looked at a couple things that didn't work, a couple of picks that didn't turn out quite so well. This week, we're coming back with the 2019 highlights. David Trainer, great to have you back on Money Life.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
It's time for us to review who did well or what picks worked out. And one of them was interesting to me because you guys at New Constructs were working really hard, really for the last 2 years, developing a methodology that would allow you to look more closely at IPOs. And boy, did that pay off.
That's right. The highlights report has quite a few more tickers in it than the lowlights because we felt like we needed to include all these IPOs that we were pretty strongly warning on because they really, really underperformed. And one of those, we'll take credit for, WeWork, actually, you know, never made it. And we were one of the early and I think most direct reports or pieces of research calling into question the viability of that business and therefore the IPO and really strongly warning investors against investing, buying that IPO. We did the same thing for Lyft and Uber and Slack and Peloton, and those all proved in 2019 to be really strong performers from the Danger Zone perspective in terms of shorting them. You did a lot better shorting them than you did owning them.
In terms of the IPOs in general, was there something with the market that became systematic? Because that's not really what you look at. At New Constructs, you're much less concerned with what the market's doing. But was there anything with the market that particularly made it tough for IPOs? Or was it just, no, the IPO market kept bringing crap to market?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. You know, look, you look at the overall performance of the S&P last year, up 19%. I don't think you could blame it on the market in general. I think Lyft, Uber, WeWork trilogy or chronology there, kind of, you know, in each successive IPO in that string there, you got sort of increasingly ridiculously bad companies with extreme overvaluation. And I think, you know, you just kind of kept pushing people and pushing people to swallow what was really just bad businesses at extremely high prices until they just frankly said no. And, you know, give Wall Street credit, they got the deals done at pretty decent prices. You know, that's what Wall Street does. That's their primary job, right? That's how they make their money, not in research. Their biggest money comes from IPOs, and they got them done at good prices for the owners of the companies and the private equity firms. But since then, those stocks have tanked because, as we have written many times, those businesses aren't making money and they may never make money.
Well, speaking of not making money, your second highlight from 2019, Rogers Corporation. That's a stock that you first talked about near the end of April. What happened there?
Down 25% while the S&P's up 10%. And, you know, this was one of the most classic roll-up stories, which I've talked to you about and your audience about many times, where you get sort of a chosen one stock that has been sort of chosen by the bankers, Wall Street, to buy up the other firms in usually a fragmented industry. And these guys have done a bunch of overpriced acquisitions, which, of course, boost their earnings, even if the underlying economics of the business are going into the gutter. That's the high-low fallacy, right? All you got to have is a company with a higher PE buying a company with a lower PE to boost earnings per share. And the stock underperformed. You know, these tend to be pretty high flyers. We've highlighted it as one of the most overvalued momentum stocks early in the year because it was up 72%, I think, year to date. And it's since come back down to earth, and we think it's probably going to continue to come back down to earth.
And then another one that you thought would get low was one that helps people get high, Cronos Group. It was your first venture into the cannabis space. You picked on it late in the year, so it didn't necessarily have as much discrepancy as, say, Rogers or some of the things that you were looking on earlier, but still kind of went pretty sharply in the direction you thought it was going to go, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, for years, Chuck, we've always said these sort of thematic stocks are not good investments. They can be very dangerous. And Cronos, we had a lot of interest in the weed stocks, and we built up coverage on as many as we could. And one of the worst that came out of our analysis of all those stocks was Cronos. It's down 10% while the S&P was up 12% from the time we published. And yeah, this is a stock that's just kind of crazy in terms of, even on a price to revenue multiple, it's double its peers, even though it doesn't have anywhere near sort of the capacity that some of its peers has. So this one's sort of a head scratcher. And even today, to justify $8 a share, it's got to achieve sort of pharmaceutical level margins and grow revenue by 63% compounded annually for a decade. Double the cannabis industry growth rate.
Yeah, and the cannabis industry growth rate is what's been attracting people to cannabis. And you got to double that. Not bloody likely. David, great stuff as always, or particularly maybe not as always, maybe it's the other, maybe greater stuff than always. That's the point here, is that these were some top Danger Zone picks from 2019.
Danger.
We look forward to your top picks from 2020, and we'll get off and get after them starting next week. We'll talk to you again then, David.
Thanks very much, Chuck.
That's David Trainer, everybody. He is the founder and president of New Constructs. You can learn more at newconstructs.com, where they have their list of the most attractive and most dangerous stocks, where they blog about their danger zone picks. So there's much more information if you want to see how everything played out on their best picks or revisit their worst ones or anything. And of course, they're on Twitter at New Constructs. All right, we are heading for home on the January 21st edition of Money Life. Up next, it's the Market Call. John Thompson from Vilas Capital will be here talking stocks when we come back in just a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.